This is AgriPulse Daybreak West for Thursday, March 13th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. Good morning, I'm Jeff Nally. Here's today's headlines. Rats gnaw through $300 million in equipment damages. Specialty crop access to disaster aid. RIF plan due today. And GOP looks to dodge tariff debate. Rats damage likely exceeded $300 million. Severe rat infestations last fall affected more than 100,000 acres of Central Valley orchards and adjacent farm facilities. UC Ag economists estimate the overall damages surpassed $100 million and may have been as high as $310 million. CDFA detailed the findings in a recent memo obtained by AgriPulse. While direct damage to trees has led to yield losses, the invasive roof rats also gnawed through electric wires and trucks and harvesters and in irrigation lines, depriving trees of water and adding a further hit to yield. The rats left a trail of droppings on equipment to clean up at a cost of $4 million. Farmers spent as much as $168 million just to replace the drip lines. Yield losses in the following season due to the lack of post-harvest water will be as high as $130 million, though the economists were not able to factor in all the potential damage. Why now? Well, the economic impact study does not delve into the potential causes for the mass infestations. The rats have likely benefited from more habitat, as almond farmers and vineyard managers have abandoned or pulled thousands of acres to rebalance the markets or in response to SGMA. The state's ban in open burning, meanwhile, has left much of that ag waste piled up and awaiting removal as chippers and air curtain burners remain in short supply. At the peak of infestations, Governor Gavin Newsom signed a ban on two first-generation anticoagulant rodenticides after banning another, Dipakin 1, in 2023. He approved a ban on second-generation anticoagulant rodenticides in 2020, though it exempted most processing facilities. Next, well, farm groups are engaging with local representatives to secure financial aid to assist the recovery and for landscape-scale eradication measures. California farm groups rally behind disaster aid bill. California Democrat Representative Jimmy Panetta and Senator Alex Padilla are leading the effort to increase specialty crop access to federal disaster aid. With a swath of ag support from the likes of California Farm Bureau and Almond Alliance, the reintroduced Fair Access to Agriculture Disaster Programs Act would pull back current limitations on growers making above $900,000 annually. The lawmakers argue the dollar cap does not account for inflation or high production costs faced by producers who make at least 75% of their income from farming. The bill also opens access to programs like emergency assistance for livestock, which California's dairy industry relied on heavily during the initial avian flu outbreak. We'll have more AgriPulse Daybreak West after this.
When you work with Rabo AgriFinance, you get the global knowledge and financial strength of one of the world's largest and most innovative food and ag lenders. Tools essential to realizing your aspirations. Discover how an unmatched network of local and sector experts can help you confront agriculture's challenges and seize the opportunities that lie ahead. Learn more and contact us at www.raboag.com. Creating value, connecting vision. Rabo AgriFinance.
Welcome back to AgriPulse Daybreak West. Time has come for RIF plans. Today's the deadline for the departments and agencies to submit plans for large-scale staff reductions. An executive order issued February 26th said federal agencies are supposed to prioritize the elimination of functions that aren't statutorily mandated while maintaining efficient delivery of required functions. They should also look for ways to consolidate. It's not clear when the plans will be released. Agencies have until April 14th to submit plans for consolidating programs and moving some staff out of the National Capital Region. Republicans dodge contentious tariff vote with CR provision. The House passed stopgap funding measure, now pending in the Senate, would block Democrats from forcing a vote on the president's tariff authority. That's sparing Republicans a politically fraught decision. Democrats introduced two House resolutions earlier this month challenging the emergency declarations underpinning President Donald Trump's tariffs on Canada and Mexico. Resolutions challenging a national emergency normally receive expedited treatment in Congress, but a provision in the House's continuing resolution would essentially suspend that process. Why it matters? Well, while some farmers are willing to give Trump plenty of leeway on tariffs, the broader public may not be. A CNN and SSRS poll published yesterday finds more than half of respondents disapprove of Trump's handling of new tariffs. Spring is coming, and so is WOTUS rewrite. There is a new administration in town, which means it's time for another attempt to write a rule defining waters of the U.S. under the Clean Water Act. Lee Zeldin, administrator of the EPA, announced yesterday that he'll work with the Army Corps of Engineers to craft a durable rule that will eliminate uncertainty for farmers. The reaction was predictable. Industry groups and farm state lawmakers applauded the effort to bring regulations in line with the Supreme Court Sackett decision. Environmental groups were critical. This will be the fourth rule attempted to define waters of the United States in a decade. We need to stop playing political ping pong with this vital issue, said Jim Murphy, the National Wildlife Federation Director of Legal Advocacy. Murphy also warned that layoffs at EPA will make the task of writing new regulations more difficult. But Administrator Zeldin told reporters he believes there will be enough people to do the job. He said, quote, "I will ensure that the staffing level to complete this rulemaking will always be exactly where we need it to be," he said. "It is my responsibility as administrator of EPA to make sure that our staffing levels are set exactly where they need to be, not one person less, not one person more." Lawmakers launch bipartisan effort to curb misbranded honey. A bill is being introduced in the House and the Senate to prevent products made from cheaper sweeteners from being marketed as honey. The legislation would establish a standard identity for honey at the FDA and require packers to vouch that their product is unadulterated. The Department of Health and Human Services would work with the USDA and U.S. Customs and Border Protection on testing requirements. Alabama Republican Senator Tommy Tuberville will introduce the Senate bill today, while Representatives Greg Stube and Jimmy Panetta are expected to file the House version on Friday. Here's today's final word. Despite being ravaged by urban wildfires and vilified by conservative politicians and pundits, the Golden State continues to outpace its rivals. That's Jock O'Connell, International Trade Advisor at Beacon Economic, which reports California's export trade grew 7.8% in January over the previous year. Florida's growth was just 3.6%. Texas had 2.6%. Yet the consulting firm described the outlook amid a rising trade war as downright cloudy. Well, that's Daybreak West for this Thursday, March 13th, brought to you by Rabo AgriFinance. For the latest news out of Washington, D.C., visit AgriPulse.com. For AgriPulse Daybreak West, I'm Jeff Allen.